Nowadays, vast fields of grain in eastern Washington and northeastern Oregon feed the world, but the first crop of wheat in the Northwest was planted at Fort Vancouver in 1825. For the rest of the 19th century, many farmers grew wheat, oats, rye, and barley west of the Cascades. Today, foodies, farmers, and others are collaborating to revitalize the historic grain production on the wet side of the Cascades. Correspondent Tom Bonsi reports.
You've no doubt heard catchphrases of the local food movement, such as buy local and farm to table. You can see it take off in the crowds at your closest farmer's market or with Northwest grown labels on products at your grocery store. But there's a missing piece for people who want to eat local in the Maritime Northwest, so says Laura Lewis, who leads the Washington State University Food Systems Program.
We just look at wheat or flour as this general generic thing, and we don't differentiate, you know, we want flour.
Or just oats or rye. Lewis wants to see the return of a local and regional grain economy.
You know, knowing that you can go to a farmer's market and get rolled oats, or you can get barley, or you can get wheat berries, and they were produced within a 50-mile or 100-mile distance from that particular farmer's market.
For the past 6 years, WSU, with help from Oregon State University, has organized a January conference to promote specialty grain production, especially west of the Cascades. This year's edition sold out, with around 300 farmers, bakers, brewers, distillers, brokers, and academics in attendance. Evan Mulvaney dropped by. He started growing peas, wheat, and barley a couple years ago on a former dairy farm he bought near Montesano, Washington.
I talked to the family who I was buying my farm from and to see if they had ever grown grains in the past, which it turns out they had. In the 50s and 60s, there was a lot of grain production in western Washington.
Mulvaney rotates his organic crops across about 100 acres of what used to be pasture land. It rains a lot here near the Washington coast. Keep in mind, one ill-timed rainstorm or high humidity can spoil mature grain.
For what we do here, we've worked with the rain by planting our crops, getting them planted as early as we can, or we've come to growing a lot of triticale, which is a cross between wheat and rye, does very well in wet soils throughout the wintertime, and that crop will be ready to combine and harvest in late July or early August.
When it's reliably sunny and dry, even here. Most of the grain Mulvaney grows stays on the farm to feed the hogs.
Hey, honey. Yeah. Hi.
Mulvaney says growing grain for animal fodder is more forgiving than for human consumption. What Hidden River Farm sells to the public is its heritage pork. Even if he wanted to sell milled grains, Mulvaney says the closest miller would be hours away.
Probably up in the Skagit Valley, yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit of a trip.
It's a little bit of a trip, but the closest butcher isn't much closer.
Mulvaney and others say the loss of local processing infrastructure, grain mills, malt houses, so forth, is a barrier to meeting rising demand for local grains from end users. Those include artisan bakers, craft brewers, and the fast-growing distillery business. Jason Parker co-founded Copperworks Distilling in Seattle. He began searching more than 3 years ago for local farmers to source malted barley for distinctive whiskeys.
Now we are doing single farm, single variety, single vintage malts that we're turning into whiskey. So we're able to share that flavor from the field all the way into the bottle.
Parker says Washington State is now home to more than 100 craft distillers. Oregon has more than 50. So far, though, official statistics from USDA don't show any significant bump up in grain production in western Washington or Oregon. Anecdotally, we've heard of a revival in plantings of wheat, barley, and rye in Washington's Skagit County and in Lynn, Lane, and Benton counties of Oregon's Willamette Valley. I'm Tom Bonsi in Olympia.